John chapter 11. Now we're a little on the slim side this morning. Bible school has a way of wearing you down. It wore me down. I don't feel like my bouncing self. All the bounce is gone, just about. And some folks had other commitments that just happened to fall on this day. But I am thankful for the Bible school that we had, and we had a good number of kids, and it was good every day. John chapter 11. I'm not going to read this whole chapter. Most everyone in here is familiar with John chapter 11. But I want to read down at the end part of the chapter. In verse 39, I want to begin reading in verse 39. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Now Lazarus was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there's a couple times that it talks about Jesus weeping in the Bible, and this particular portion of Scripture is one time. As a matter of fact, it's the shortest verse in the Bible is verse 35, Jesus wept. And Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, his friend. Martha is one whom, as you read through this chapter, you will find that Jesus says some particular things to Martha. Verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus quotes, says that a great portion of Scripture that we quote many times, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha has a little trouble with spiritual things. She has a little trouble with maybe believing. And Mary, although she makes the very same comment to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, this thing is going to be done so that God would be glorified and Jesus Christ would be revealed as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. What man can raise the dead? What man can go to a grave where somebody has been dead for 4 days, call that man's name, and have that man come out and then tell the people to loose him and let him go? What man could do that outside of God? And one of the great evidences that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh is that he was able to raise the dead, and did so 3 times in his ministry, and this is one of them And we're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture this morning. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for those that have come today. And I pray that You'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You would just cause our mind to be fixed on spiritual things. And Lord, may our mind be fixed on You this morning. Lord, we know that You're the only one that's able to raise the dead. You can raise a man physically. You can raise a man from the dead spiritually. And Lord, I pray that if there's any here today that does not know You as Savior, they need to be raised spiritually. I pray that that would happen today. Father, we're thankful for what You've done for us in the past week. But now, Lord, we need to hear from You again. We need to call on You again, Lord, that You might speak to our hearts and do something for us and do something in our midst. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have liberty to work in our midst and do the things that need to be done. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise You and thank You for it. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When you read John chapter 11, you read of some peculiar things that take place. Back in verse 1, in the first part of the passage, it says in verse 3, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Jesus gets the word. He gets a message from Mary and Martha that Lazarus is sick. And you would think that being a friend, Jesus would drop everything and just run to the bedside of Lazarus and put his healing hand upon Lazarus and raise him from the dead. You would think that's what would take place. You would think that's exactly what Mary and Martha are expecting. I mean, they want Jesus to come. They know if Jesus comes on the scene, everything's going to be okay. They know that if Jesus gets there, Lazarus is going to live. This sickness isn't going to be unto death. But the Bible says that Jesus, when he heard of this thing, said in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Lazarus did die, but Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead because God is going to be glorified, the Son is going to be glorified in this thing of Lazarus dying. So when he gets the message, he does absolutely nothing. It says in verse 6, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." The Lord is never on our time schedule. You know, we expect the Lord to show up at certain times. We say, okay, this is Sunday morning, Lord, and the Word's going to be taught and the Word's going to be preached, and we expect You to show up. Well, I wish He would show up every time we open these doors. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. But you know something? He's always on time. He's always on His schedule, and sometimes His schedule doesn't meet with our schedule. We ask Him to be here, and I believe that the Spirit of God is here today. I believe that He is here in us. I believe that He is able to work in our midst, and He's here spiritually. But sometimes we want Jesus to show up and just do something and be there for us and deal with us in a particular way, and He doesn't do it. Lazarus is sick. Mary and Martha are waiting. Lazarus is getting worse and worse. Jesus stays in the same place for 2 days. He doesn't rush to Lazarus' side. Then finally, he says it's time to go. Verse 8, "His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Thomas is one of them that's worried about the fact that they're going to die. And, you know, Thomas says, well, we might as well go with him. We're all going to die. Jesus is going to be put to death because the Jews were laying in wait for him there. But he goes. And when he gets to Bethany, it says in verse 14, "Then Jesus saith unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I mean, it's sort of an accusing thing. It's sort of like, you know, Lord, if you just got here a little sooner, my brother had not died. If you had just been on time, Lord, Lazarus would still be alive. And then Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. But she believed that Jesus could do the healing. But did she really believe that he could do the raising from the dead? She said, I know that he'll come up again at the resurrection. Then in verse 32, it says, when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And I believe Mary knew that Jesus was life, and that if Jesus' presence was just there, he would have not died. Jesus didn't have to go into any explanation on the fact that Lazarus would raise from the dead with Mary, because Mary was a person, even though they were sisters, even though they both loved the Lord, it seems like Martha was always caught up in the material things, but Mary was always looking at things from the spiritual side of it, and Jesus didn't have to say any more to Mary. He was ready now to go to the tomb of Lazarus where they had laid him. Now there's a crowd. There's not only Mary and Martha, but there's other Jews that had come to comfort them. And they go out to the cave where they had placed Lazarus in this cave. And he's been in there 4 days. And Martha said he's already stinking. I mean, you know, she's the pessimist of the group. She's the one that says, what's the use? He's been there 4 days. He's rotting away. He's already stinking. You don't hear that from Mary. But that doesn't do anything to Jesus. Jesus understands what's going on. Jesus knows that Lazarus is going to raise from the dead. He knows that this miracle is going to be for the glory of God. He knows that Lazarus is going to come up, and then those that are there are going to believe in him as to who he is. I want you to notice some things about the raising of Lazarus. First of all, it's very obvious that Lazarus has died. He's dead. You know what Lazarus laying in that tomb is a picture of? It's a picture of a lost man. It's a picture of every man that's dead in his trespasses and sin. When a man's dead, when a person's dead, he doesn't say anything, he doesn't see anything, he doesn't hear anything, and he doesn't do anything, because he is absolutely dead. And when people are dead spiritually, you know something? They don't do anything for God, because they're dead spiritually. They don't understand. They can't hear, because they're dead spiritually. They don't know spiritual things. If you ask them about, you know, heaven and hell, and you say, do you want to go to hell? They're dead spiritually. They have to hear the words that are going to bring life unto them. You can preach to them on hell. That might cause them to desire to have life so that they won't go there. But you can't expect a dead man to understand spiritual things. And a man that is lost is dead spiritually. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In Ephesians 2:5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, it says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. A person that is lost is dead. Lazarus laying in that tomb is a picture of a lost man dead in his trespasses and sin. 3 times in Jesus' ministry, he raised someone from the dead. Luke chapter 8, verse 42, there's a 12-year-old daughter, the daughter of Jairus. And he went to Jairus' house, and he rose this young girl up from the dead. Jairus' daughter was dead. She hadn't been dead long. She had just died. And he rose Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus is the life. When he comes on the scene, people are going to live. And Jairus' daughter lived. In Luke chapter 7, a young man died, and he's referred to as the widow of Nain's son, and he's being carried to the graveyard. He had died, but some time had gone by, and they're taking him out to bury him. And Jesus comes across the burial procession and raises the widow of Nain's daughter from the dead, or son from the dead. Now Lazarus has been dead 4 days and in the grave, and Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. You know, when you see those three people that Jesus raises from the dead, you know what it shows you? It shows you death comes to all. It shows you that death is no respecter of persons. Here's a young girl, and she dies. Jesus raises her from the dead. Here's a young man, and he dies. Jesus raises him from the dead. Here's an old man, Lazarus, and he dies. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. You know what the Bible shows you in Jesus raising them people from the dead? That death is going to come to all. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. None of us is going to be able to escape death. Death comes to all. Death comes to all because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death comes to all because we were born into sin and we are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. We are sinners all the days of our life. And death comes to us because we have sinned against the holy and righteous God. But not only does death come to all, life can come to all also. And Jesus shows us by raising three different people from the dead that life can come to a young person, life can come to a young man, life can come to someone who is older, and Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And when you bring somebody dead around Jesus, it's not going to be too long before he comes to life. You know why people don't like to come to church? Where they preach about Jesus? If they're dead, they don't like it. Because one or two things is either going to happen. Either they're going to have to listen to that message, believe on Jesus, and get saved and have life, or they're going to have to get out of town. They're not going to be able to take a steady diet of that. I mean, you look here, after Lazarus was risen from the dead, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And in the next chapter, you know what they're doing? They're looking for Jesus. They want to do away with him. They want to get rid of him. I say to you this morning, when Jesus Christ is lifted up, when Jesus Christ is preached, when Jesus Christ is comes by, then people are going to live. And if they don't want to live, then they're not going to want to stay around Jesus. But you can't be around Jesus and stay dead. Lazarus had to come out of the grave. I want you to notice this about Lazarus. Not only was he dead, but Jesus loved Lazarus. In verse 35, it says, Jesus wept, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Lazarus when he was alive, even though he was a sinner. Jesus loved Lazarus. And that tells me this, that Jesus loves the lost. He wept when Lazarus died. One day Jesus was standing on the Mount of Olives looking across at the city of Jerusalem, and he said to Jerusalem, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And Jesus wept over the fact that Jerusalem was in the dark, lost condition that it was in, and wept over the city of Jerusalem and the people in that city. He wept over Lazarus. Jesus loves the lost. The Bible says God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loved this world so much, and He loved the sinner so much, that He was willing to come into this world and die on a cross for you, for me, and for every lost man outside the doors of this church out there in the world. Jesus loves the lost. He wants the lost to be saved. If a man dies without Jesus Christ, he's gone to the end of God's love. If he dies without Jesus Christ, he's gone to the end of God's mercy. If he dies without Jesus Christ, he's gone to the end of God's grace. And God can no longer love the man, have mercy on the man, or give grace to the man that he might be saved, because he has the opportunity in this life. And everyone needs to know that God loves them. Can you imagine growing up and never hearing anyone tell you that they love you? Can you imagine a mother and father bringing a child into this world, and that child never one time in their life hearing their mother or father say, "I love you"? Can you imagine what it would be like to grow into adulthood and never have anyone tell you that they love you? And yet there's people out there in the world today that are just like that. And Jesus loves them all the time. And Jesus loved them from the day they were born, and He'll love them till the day they die, and He will give them life eternal if they will but come to Him and believe on Him. That's how much He loves them. He does good unto them, and the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance, and He tries and He tries and He tries to reach that lost person because He loves the lost man. I don't know whether Jesus cries in heaven, but I'll tell you what, I know this. Over in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I know this, that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. I know this, that Jesus Christ sits and waits for that sinner to believe on Him and cry out to Him, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner," and He saved them instantly. I know this, Jesus loves the sinner and wants to save the sinner, and there's somebody in this world that loves a man, and it's Jesus Christ. But there's people that think no one loves them and can't understand the love of God because they're dead. Jesus wants to give them life, and He loves them. Jesus came to Lazarus, and He came to this graveyard, and He came to this cave and to this sepulcher so that Lazarus could live. He knows Lazarus died. If you go back to the first part of the verse of the chapter, it says in verse 11, "These things said He, and after that He said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep." They said, "He's sleeping." Well, if he's sleeping, that's good. If he's sleeping, that's a good thing. But in verse 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, that they thought that He had spoken of taking rest and sleep." Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." He's dead. Jesus knows. Jesus stays there two more days. He knows Lazarus is going to die. But He knows Lazarus is going to raise from the dead. He knows people are going to be hurt. He knows people are going to weep. He knows people are going to experience loss. He knows people are going to be sorrowful. But He knows they're going to be happy when He raises Lazarus, the dead. And He knows that Lazarus may live. Look in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. He says, "He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Said, do you believe that, Martha? Do you believe that? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Lazarus is going to live. I didn't come to hear people cry over his death. I didn't come to preach a funeral service. I didn't come to say, pay my last respects. I came, Jesus said, that Lazarus might live. Jesus knows that Lazarus is going to live. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. Listen, Jesus is the way. And Lazarus is going to come to life because Jesus is going to come by and raise him from the dead. Jesus Christ is life. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, it says in verse 6, there was a man whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus Christ is the way. He is life. He is light. He is salvation. And anyone that will believe on him can have life and have life eternal. Lazarus is going to come up from the grave. In verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, get this picture in your mind. Lazarus has been laid in a grave, in a cave, and when I was over there, I'm sure Dale saw as well the kind of sepulchers that they hew out of stone. They have a little stone platform there that they lay the dead bodies on. But it's their custom, because they don't embalm, it's their custom that they wrap the body up. And so Lazarus is all wrapped up with grave clothing. And they've got his body wrapped up. He's looking like a mummy. And he has a napkin wrapped around his face. And he has these clothes wrapped around him. And so he's laying in there like that, all wrapped up. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. But you know what has to happen? Life comes into him, and he has to come spinning out of that cave. Or else he has to come hopping out. But he comes out of that cave, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. They cut the grave clothes off, they loose him, and they let him go. At the word Lazarus, life comes into his body, and he comes alive. Now, Lazarus didn't know everything that happened, but he knew this. Once he was dead, and now he's alive. You know, I can't explain to you everything that God does when he saves a person. I know a lot more than I did 37 years ago, but I know this. There was a time I was dead, and now I'm alive. And I know this, I'm never going to die. You say, oh yeah, you'll die someday. I'm going to die physically, but I've got eternal life. I'm never going to die spiritually. I'm never going to experience that spiritual death. I'm never going to experience that separation from the presence of God and experience the second death. Lazarus was raised from the dead. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. John says again in chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Lazarus came to life when Jesus Christ saved you. You came to life, just like Lazarus came to life. When you came to life, you came to life and you were loosed, just like Lazarus was loosed. God has a job and a reason for saving you and leaving you and loosing you. Just like he had a reason for raising Lazarus, loosing Lazarus, and letting him go. And if you've been raised, there's one thing that the devil wants. He wants to try to bind you up again. He doesn't like the fact that you have life, and he wants to keep you bound. But Jesus said to Lazarus, loose him and let him go. You know what Lazarus did? They had a supper for him in the next chapter. And people came from all over, and it says in chapter 12 and verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then down in verse 9, it says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. I mean, here's a living, breathing, walking testimony to the fact that Jesus can raise a person from the dead. You know why God leaves us here? Is because he wants us to be living, breathing, walking, talking testimonies to the fact that Jesus raises the dead. When a person gets saved, the world can't understand it. They say, I don't know what happened to him, but I know he's changed. I don't know what happened to him, but I know he's different. I know this, he went down to that church and the preacher must have slapped him on the head with the Bible, and now all he wants to do is talk about religion. That's the way the world puts it, but the Bible puts it, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And salvation makes a change in a person's life. Lazarus is no longer dead. He's no longer bound. He is now living, breathing, walking, talking, testifying. Yes, I was dead, but Jesus raised me from the dead. And there's his family there saying, yep, yep, that's what happened. And brother, I'll tell you what, people are believing. People are believing. But uh-oh. Uh-oh. Verse 10 of chapter 12. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Don't you think that Lazarus was willing to stop and talk to anybody that came in contact with him? Let me tell you, man, I died. I was sick. I lay on the sick bed for days, and I died, and Jesus came and raised me from the dead. And brother, I'll tell you what, the religious bunch didn't like that. They wanted to put Lazarus to death. They wanted to put Jesus to death. But you see, Jesus is life. They couldn't put Jesus to death. When Jesus was crucified, man could not put him to death. He had to give up the ghost. He said, I lay down my life. He volunteered to lay it down. He says, and I take it up again. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and he died. But listen, Jesus is life, and he could have hung on that cross for 1,000 years if he had wanted to. But he didn't. He laid down his life. He came up the third day, showing he has power over death, over sin, over the grave, and over hell, and can give life to anyone that will come unto him. Lazarus was loosed. Some people are still bound. They're bound by sin. They're bound by the devil. They're bound by their sinful past. What a bound person needs to do is just come to Jesus. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And if you're not loosed today, you can turn to Jesus Christ, believe on him, and you can be loosed. If you don't have eternal life today, you can turn to Jesus Christ and have life in Jesus. Jesus came to Lazarus that he might live, and he lived. Jesus comes to you and to me that we might live. Do you have life this morning? And are you using the life that He gave you to be a witness for Him? Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I'm thankful for this chapter in John chapter 11, for this place in the Bible where, Lord, You did a great thing, a great miracle. And Father, we read about it, we think about it, we talk about it, but Lord, we can't really understand sometimes everything that went on. But we do understand why it took place. Because Lord, You want us to see, You want to show us that You have the power to give life. Not just the power to give physical life, but that You have the power to give life everlasting. Lord, if there's anyone in here that's never experienced salvation, they've never come to You and trusted in You and received life everlasting, I pray that this morning might be the morning that they turn to You and trust in You. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is there any that would raise their hand and say, Brother McDowell, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I'm concerned about my soul. Would you please pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? Anyone, young or old, just lift your hand up. If you put your hand up, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone like that in here this morning? You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You don't have life right now. But you'd like to know Him as your Savior. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that You would be with each person that's come here this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this time that we've had together. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit might speak to hearts. That, Lord, if there's someone here that could not raise their hand, but yet down deep in their heart, they know that they need to be saved. I pray that You would speak to them and deal with their hearts this morning. Lord, we're thankful for little Amanda that gave her heart to You last week. And Lord, we're thankful for the others that have gotten saved in the past few weeks. And Lord, I pray that You would cause us to be able to reach out and show this lost world the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, just bless as we sing this invitation hymn. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.